Hey, good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you today to the turnover. If there's anybody here who's ever had their life touched or impacted by the love of God, I want you to get on your feet this morning and give Jesus the ovation of the morning. Come on, let's open our mouths and declare glory to the one who deserves it, amen? The one who loved you with all his life. The one who laid down his life so that we could be free. Thank you, God, for your love for us today. We celebrate your love in this place this morning. Amen? Come on, shake hands with one person and tell them God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You can be seated. Now, we've been talking about this service for a couple weeks. We've been talking about the turnover, and we're flipping things upside down today. I'm thankful that there is nothing, somebody say nothing, boring about God. There is absolutely nothing boring about his kingdom. There is absolutely nothing boring about being one of his children. Amen? There is nothing certainly boring about coming together in a place where the presence and the power of God is released as we press into his promises and his presence. Thank God for that today. But today we are in a place that is anything but boring. Can you say amen? We refuse to get stuck in a rut because you know what a rut is. A rut is just a grave with no ends. And it's easy for us to get stuck in ruts, isn't it? See, routine is a good thing because it helps us to be productive. But ritual is not, because ritual is when we replace relationship with activity. We become satisfied with motion rather than progress. Jesus came to this earth at a time when religion was at its height. And he interrupted the structure and he interrupted what the world knew or thought they knew about God. And he turned everything over. You know, Jesus didn't have any problem turning things over. You remember when he went into the temple and he found the money changers there and he took the tables, and what did he do? He turned them over. He turned over what had been set up in the temple. He turned over what had been established. He flipped over the norm. He got rid of what people were used to. He cleaned it out. And so much of the time, that's what God's got to do in our lives. He's got to take us and turn us over. He's got to turn our thinking over. That's what repentance is all about. It's not just a turn around, but it's a turning over. As believers, we don't just turn over a new leaf. I'm not just a better me. I'm a brand new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus because of what Christ has done for us. And so Jesus came to turn things over and turn things around. Jesus took what the world knew about God, what we thought we knew about life, what we thought we knew about living, and he said, that's not a life. I'm the way, the truth, and the... He who has the Son has life. He said, if you want to live, you've got to die. Turn over. If you're going to lead, then you have to learn to follow. What was he doing? He was turning things over. If you want to be exalted, then you've got to humble yourself. What was he doing, church? What was he doing? He was turning it over. He said, if you're going to experience abundance, then you've got to give your way into it. He said, if you want to be exalted, you've got to humble yourself. He said, when people treat you wrong, I want you to do them right in the face of that wrong. What is that called? It's a turnover. He said, when they slap you on the left cheek, I want you to hand them your right. I want you to give it to them before they can take it from you. What's that called? It's a turnover. He said, when they curse you, I want you to bless them. And he said, when they steal, I want you to give it instead of allowing them to take it. And he said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. He said, if you want to find your life, you've got to lose it. What is that? It's a turnover. If you want to find, that didn't even make sense. If I want to find something, I got to lose it. I thought if I lost it, I needed to find it. He said, if you want to find your life, you've got to lose it. It was a turnover. So when Jesus came, born of a virgin named Mary, laid in a manger in the town of Bethlehem. When Jesus came, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When Jesus came, he came as the greatest expression of the love of God. And so when Jesus shows up, he takes everything we thought we knew about love and he... Can you say that again? Can you say that again? When you get in your car and you turn the key, what do? Turn it over. You have something on the job when people quit, attrition rate, it's called the turnover rate. People who are in marketing and stores, they understand what a turnover is, how fast they can move something off of shelves. Turnover. But the love of God finds its greatest expression in the person of Jesus Christ. And so just like Jesus taught leadership or blessing or life or anything else, when he shows up, he is the greatest expression and embodiment of the love of God. And I want you to look this morning with me at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Because the Apostle Paul prays an incredible and a powerful prayer. And I want it to be a prayer for us today. And he says this. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into what? God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Growing in God's love keeps you strong. Verse 18. And may you have the power to understand. Somebody say understand. You've got to understand. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide. Somebody say wide. And how long. Somebody say long. And how high. Somebody say high. And how deep. Somebody say deep. His what? Love is. How high his love is. You know, the love of God will take you into heights you never could have imagined. Paul prays that you would understand how deep his love is. There are depths in the love of God that are beyond our imagination. How much God loves us. How wide his love is. The love of God enlarges our life and it brings us into a place of expansion and enlargement. He said how long and how high and how wide and how deep. Verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. That's how great God's love for you is today. It's so great we can't even wrap our heads around it. Then, somebody say then. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When will you be made complete? With all the fullness of life and power that comes from God, when you have an understanding and a revelation of just how radical God's love for you is. Amen? Are you seeing this today? He says, then you'll be able to be made complete with all the fullness of life. How many of you love life? I'm determined to love life, all of it, the ups and downs, the goods and the bad, the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You know, walking in the power of God even comes as we have an understanding of his love for us. Verse 20. Now all glory to God who is able, somebody say God's able, through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Let's pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. And Father, we're asking for an increase of our understanding of your love for us today. We pray that revelation, knowledge of your word would flow freely. I'm praying today, Father, that eyes be opened like never before just to how incredible your love is for us. God, I'm asking today for those who struggle with finding worth and worthiness and valuing themselves and who have struggled with acceptance and rejection. Father, I ask today that they would be embraced by your affection in such a way, God, that it totally and radically changes their life. I pray for those today whose hearts have been hardened, God, that your love would soften their hearts. And God, we open our lives today just to receive everything you've got for us. And if there be anyone here that does not know your Son as their Savior, Father, we ask today that before they leave, they would. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Four things I want to tell you about the love of God this morning that is radical, that turns our understanding and our thinking over. Number one is this: God does not have love, God is love. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. God does not have love, God is love. Let's read it again. God does not have love, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, share that with us. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Verse 8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is" what? Did it say grace? Did it say mercy? Did it say righteousness? Did it say holiness? It says God is what? God is what? God is what? God is what? What is your God? God does not have love. God is love. Verse 9. "In this, the love of God was manifested or revealed toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the appeasement by sacrifice for our sins." We don't love God so that he'll love us. We love God because he loves us. The Bible says that God is love. And here's the thing. There were four words in the Greek for love. Now, we use one word in English for everything. I love hot dogs, I love my dog, and I love my wife and kids. Not equally in that order. But in the Greek, there's four words. There were three that were primarily used, but the love of God was so special and so incredible that a new word was forged that the Holy Spirit used to describe this force that flowed from the very heart and throne of God. It is a word that only describes the love of God, and it's called agape. Somebody say agape. That's your Greek lesson for today. Agape. And here's what it means. Agape means unconditional love. Somebody say that with me. Unconditional love. The love of God is an unconditional love. It is a love by deliberate choice. It's not a feeling. This is totally different. We fall in love. God didn't fall on anything. I don't fall on purpose. Right? Love is an act of the will. It's unconquerable benevolence. I love that. It's undefeatable goodwill. That's what the love of God is towards you. Agape is more than just a love from God, but it is the love that is God. I'm going to say that again to this side. Agape is more than just a love from God, Chris. It's the love that is God. Because God is what? So agape love is God. Somebody's going to get a hold of the love of God today, and you're never going to be the same. I'm believing, God, that wave after wave after wave is just going to wash over your life as you walk out of here with a brand new understanding and appreciation. Love finds its most perfect expression in the person of Jesus Christ. His life stands to this day as the greatest living lesson of what love looks like, what love acts like, what love talks like, how love treats people. God gives us things we can see to understand the things we cannot see. So to understand something we can't see like love, what did he do? He sent his son Jesus. He said, if you want to know what love looks like, just take a look at my son. God does not have love. God is love. So important for us to grasp that today. Number two, this is a question all of us ask and all of us want to know. Will you love me? We all want to know that, right? Will you love me? We all want to be loved. Will you love me? Do you find me lovable? I love this quote from Mother Teresa, who gave her entire life serving people in need. She said, the greatest disease is not tuberculosis or leprosy. It's being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world today who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. I meet people all the time who are starving just to be loved. You know people that maybe it's you this morning. You just want to be loved. You want somebody to look into your life and find something worth celebrating. There is a longing for belonging on the inside of every human heart that cannot be denied, and it cannot be quenched any other way than with the agape love of God. We want to be loved. We want to know that we will be loved. It's the burning thing that every child comes up with, is will you love me? Will you love me? I mean, people who have never even heard somebody tell them, God loves you. It's so hard for them to wrap their head around that and to even fathom something like that. And people are desperate to be loved. They just long for somebody to give them attention and show them that they matter. And here's the deal, the devil will take them all. And so when we're in the house of God and we pick and choose who we want and we don't want, and we say we're a club that belongs to this people and not to that people, that's not the way God's house should be, amen? God's house is a house for everybody. I said God's house is a house for everybody. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world. Last time I checked, you're a part of the world. Amen? And there's nobody who's here who's not a part of the world. So there is nobody who is separated from God's love on God's part. And our job is to share with them that love for them. But people are longing for that belonging and for attention, and they're so desperate for it, they're willing to do anything. They'll take the wrong attention is better than no attention. I remember in my life when I was in that place and I was lost and I was lonely and I was looking and I was searching for God and I didn't even realize it, and I was willing to take any attention I could get. I wanted to be known as that guy who had the fastest car. I wanted to be known as that guy who could drink the most. I wanted to be known as that guy you don't mess with because he'll be the first to drop somebody. Those were the things I wanted to be celebrated in my wife. My wife, yeah, I don't want a wife that does all that. My life, because here's the deal. Any attention is better than no attention. People are looking for something to be celebrated in their life. And I love this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. And it's so powerful of how radical Jesus' love was and who he came to minister to. It says, later Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees, the religious people, saw this, they asked his disciples, watch this, why does your teacher eat with such scum? They're not worth his attention. They're not worth his affection. Will you love me? Verse 12, when Jesus heard this, he said, I love this. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. He said, I didn't come for the religious. I came for the lost. What's he doing? Turning it over. Everybody that thought they should have had 15 minutes with Jesus, he said, no, thank you. Them. They're the ones I want. They're the ones I long for. Jesus' love was so radical. It was so revolutionary that it took everything religion knew and it turned it over. It established who God could love and who God would love. Listen, there's nothing new about religion. Christianity is not religion. Religion is a set of rules and prescribed rituals that men do to make themselves acceptable and lovable by God. But Christianity is altogether different. When I couldn't get to God through what I did, God came to me through what he did. And when Jesus died on the cross for me, he didn't say to be continued. He said it is finished. In other words, everything is done that needs to be done. For the love of God to invade your heart, transform your life, and set you on a pathway of purpose, and release a praise on the inside of your life so that people can see a life worth living and what that looks like, all because of what Jesus Christ did at the ultimate sacrifice and act of love as he laid down his life on the cross, and 3 days later, in the greatest victory love has ever won, he kicked the end out of the tomb and he arose from the grave victorious. Can you say amen? So God establishes who he could love and who he would love, John. Divinity steps out of eternity, wraps himself in humanity, and he comes to earth to love the least, the last, and the lost. And here's his message. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he meets a woman at a well who had been married 5 times, divorced 5 times, and shacking with number 6. That's the lady I'm looking for, Jesus said. He said, I've got to go to Samaria. There's somebody there. He meets the demoniac man who had been tormented for a long time, and he's living in the caves. He's living in isolation. He's cutting himself, the Bible says. He's crying out, and nobody can hear him. I read that, and I think about the emo kids, which stands for emotional, and they're crying out and they just say, I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to accept me the way I am. I think about homosexuals today and the cry for their love in their life, even if it is twisted. They're just looking for love and they'll take anything they can get. And what they need to know is the man they're looking for is not on this earth, but his name is Jesus Christ, and he can satisfy. My God, that's a revelation. I think about the lepers. We talked about this morning. I think about the lepers. He touched lepers. Are you crazy? That stuff's contagious. But Jesus, the love of God compels me. I gotta go. I gotta get a hold of them. I gotta reach out and I gotta touch them. I got to lay my hand on their life because they need to know that even when society, Randy, has thrown them away, that God still loves them and he wants them and he accepts them. And I'm going to blow your mind and flip religion on its head when I say that God needs them. I think about the tax collectors that he brought to himself. I think about the woman with the flow of blood. Could have possibly been an STD. She didn't deserve it, although it was her faith in him. His healing was an act of his love for her in response to her faith in him. Faith worketh by love. Think about the prostitute who came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and she wiped him with her hair, and Jesus looks around the room and everybody's watching in disgust, and he says, "Do you see her?" Of course they saw her. They were disgusted by what she did. But he says, "Do you see her?" See, we've got to learn to see people the way God does. Lost or found, don't stop there, but all worth his love. It's no wonder they wanted to kill him. Jesus came for the sick and not for the healthy. He came for the poor and not for the wealthy. What's that called? A turnover. He came for the weak and not for the strong. He came for the ones who could no longer hold on. He came and lived a life free from sin. He came to give love, joy, and peace within. He came to die on the cross at Calvary. He came to save lost sinners like me. He came to take the sin and the pain. He came to erase the guilt and the shame. He is always yesterday, today, and forever the same. I'm so glad that God so loved the world that he came. Thank God today that he came for you and he came for me. I want you to think about this today. The icons of the Bible were outcasts of their day. Did you get that this morning? The icons in the Bible that we read and celebrate as heroes were outcasts in their day, but their lives were radically turned over when they encountered the love of God through the person of Jesus Christ. And the greatest need of humanity is love. And when you ask, "Will you love me?" God says with a resounding yes and forevermore, "I love you. Just look at my son, Jesus Christ." The third thing you've got to know today is that God's love for you, this is a biggie, is not based on your performance. Religion hates this one. It makes people squirm. It makes people who have been in church too long, their hiney gets tight in church. Is that okay? It's the truth. God's love for you is not based on your performance. Let me prove it to you with Scripture. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 2:4 and 5, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's only by grace that you've been saved." What does grace mean? Very simply, it's a free gift. God's love for you is not based on your performance. God doesn't love you because of who you are, but he loves you because of who he is. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't love you because of who you are. He loves you because of who he is. God doesn't love you because of what you do. He loves you in spite of what you do. He loved you while you were still a sinner. He loved you while you were his enemy. Church, how much more does he love you now that you're in the family, now that you're washed in the blood, now that you're baptized in his spirit, now that you're restored to right standing? When I couldn't find love, love came down and found me and rescued me and redeemed me and restored me and revived me and renewed my life. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. God loves you because of who he is, because it is who he is. God is love, and God will never love you any more, any less than he does right now. God will never love you any more or any less than he does right now. God will never love you any more or any less than he does right now. No matter how much of the Bible you obey, he's not going to love you more. No matter how much you screw up, he's not going to love you less. And once you grasp this, it will radically turn over your walk with God. The day we get a hold of that is the day the devil will never again. And listen, I am not teaching you that it's okay to live a life of sin. I'm going to show you how a revelation of this will break you free from a life bound by the devil. But the day we get a hold of that is the day the devil will never again be able to hurt you or hold you back from running with God. No matter how hard or how many times you fall, God's love never fails, even when I do. And that understanding, here's what happens, will cause you to run to God when you fail, like Peter did. Not run from God like Judas did. Do you see the difference in the two? Judas ran from God, but Peter ran to Jesus. And here's what you'll find. You'll find a Jesus who is happy to restore anything that was lost in your fellowship with Him. And when God restores, He doesn't ever just restore the same amount. He always restores more. So that gives me the power to fail forward. Did Job end up with less or more after it was over with? When David, they came and attacked him and took his family at Ziklag, did he come back with less or more when God restored him? When Abraham had to go after his family and bring them back, did he come back with less or more? God always restores more than the enemy. More than the enemy took from you. Where the thief be found, let him steal no more, and let him restore it. Seven times more. Seven is a number of perfection. In other words, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am loved by God. Put it back and make it perfect in Jesus' name. Now listen, God will convict you to change you, but He will never accuse you to shame you. Conviction draws us into the presence of God. Condemnation pushes us out of the presence of God. Conviction says, you're too worthy to sin. How about that one? Condemnation says you're unworthy because you sinned. Learn to recognize the difference between conviction and condemnation. Nothing produces greater security in the heart of a child than the knowledge of a parent's unconditional love. Nothing produces greater security in the heart of a child than the knowledge of a parent's unconditional love. My babies know that I'm there for them and that I love them no matter what. That I will do everything I can to make sure they have what they need and that they have more than enough. And Daddy will give everything in His power, including my life, to make sure that these babies succeed in this life. But if, when they're learning to walk, every time they fall, I berated and belittled them and browbeat them until they felt so discouraged and defeated and stripped of dignity and so afraid of falling that they just said, Daddy, I quit. I'm going to sit right down right here. I'm going to sit down in my failure. I'm going to sit down where I fell. I'm going to sit down where I messed up. I'm going to sit down where I blew it. I'm going to sit down in my shame. Then all the progress stops and the growth stops. And that's exactly what's happening to many of you. See, we're walking with God and we're learning to work out our salvation with God every single day. We're learning to stand in Him and walk with Him. But when we fall, the enemy comes in and he's always right there dropping doubt-filled thoughts into our hearts. And when we listen to the lies, we start questioning God's love. We start doubting God's love. Our head starts hanging. Our countenance is fallen. We're defeated and discouraged by the weight of rejection and the gravity of our guilt. The devil has told you that God's upset with you and God's angry with you and God's had enough of you, that there's no more grace for you. There's no more mercy for you. There's no more room at the cross for you. There's no longer a place for you in His kingdom, that the fountain of God's love has run dry. And we allow the lies of the enemy to affect the way we perceive and receive the love of God. But God never stopped loving you. God never rejected you. You rejected yourself. And like a faucet, we shut off the love of God and we seal ourselves away from Him. But an understanding of the love of God eliminates the fear of rejection. There's something about us that makes us hide our faults from people because we want to know that they're going to love us, and we think they'll stop loving us and they'll reject us if they knew there's something wrong in our lives. And we do those things with God, but Jesus said in John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I will not reject anybody who comes to me. I thank God today that Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I thank God today that Jesus died on the cross with his arms open. I thank God today that Jesus died on the cross with his hands open as an invitation. And if you ever grasp God's love, it'll liberate you because he sees everything wrong and he still chooses to love you because he sees through the blood of Jesus. Run to Jesus. Throw open the door of your heart. Throw open the windows of your soul. Run into the light of his love and say, I know I've done wrong, but thank you, Jesus, that you and you alone can make it right. There is a place in God where you are always welcome. There is a place in God where you belong. There is a place in God where you're accepted and where you're loved and where you're received and where you're celebrated, and it's open 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and 365 days a year, and it's the presence of God. You have just as much right to be there as Jesus himself. Because religion says you have no right, but Jesus said you're worthy. And I invite you to come into the Father's presence. You have a Father who cares about you. And he's able to lift your life to new heights. When the world rejects you, he still stands by you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he doesn't get his opinion of you from anybody else. So why are you? I'm going to ask the choir in the front line if they would come. Join me this morning. We've turned this service over for a reason. There's one final thought I want to leave with you today. Fourth thing today. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. Wave after wave. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. What did he do? God loves you just as much as he loves who? John 17:23. I want to show you this to you. This is Jesus' prayer. I'm in them and you're in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you, Father, that you love them as much as you love me. That you love them as much as you love me. That was Jesus' words. Let me translate that for you today. Here's what it means. You, somebody say me, are just as valuable to God as Jesus. You are just as valuable to God as Jesus. The first and greatest commandment, love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, love your neighbor like yourself. I can't receive God's love because I don't love myself. That's the problem. If we don't find our worth then we settle for a life beneath God's left best. We live with low expectations. We let people treat us like trash instead of holding our heads high as God's treasure. And our problem is not nearly as much as what people think of us as what we think of ourselves. You're nobody's trash today. You're God's priceless treasure. You are created in the likeness and the image of God. You are the apple of the Father's eye. You are the object of His affection. You are valuable to God. You say, how do I know that? Because you are worth whatever price God was willing to pay for you, Marty. And what was that price? It was the price of His own Son, Jesus. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. You are worth the life of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. Nothing I can do can ever change that. Here's why. Because the price God was willing to pay for my life has never changed. Somebody says, Josh, can somebody sell their soul, Woody? The answer to that is no. Because souls go to the highest bidder. And there's not a higher bidder than the lover of my soul. And His name is Jesus Christ. So God said this. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love each other the way I've loved you. And by this kind of world, love, the world will know you're my disciples. Can I tell you this morning that this place is a house of love? And when people come in, you're driving from miles and miles for hours because you know you'll be loved when you come here. This is a house of love. Here's why. Because love is in this house. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them. You have a God here who loves you. You have a God here who accepts you. You have a God here who receives you. You have a God here who lifts your life out of the depths. You have a God here who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. His love never fails for you. And He said, I will finish the work I started in you. He looks at you and He likes what He sees, because when He sees you, He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the love of God, the blood of God, that makes you acceptable. If God had a refrigerator, church, your picture would be on it. His mind is filled with thoughts of you. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet today. Just take a moment and worship Him today. Sing that.
Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He
are lovable. Somebody say that today. Say, I am lovable. Say, I am worth loving. God loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. Now watch this. We were gone to Florida. While I was there, I got to see my stepdad. And it was great. That's a big deal. Some of y'all know my story, some of you don't. And it was a great, just healing. But here's the deal. Growing up, I had a father that no matter what I did, was never good enough. I could never gain his approval. I could never gain his attention. No matter what I did, I could never gain his affection.
And I fought for that, and I tried so hard. And I want you to know today that you have a Father in heaven who's not like that. You don't have to do those things to get His love. It's already on you. Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Let down your guard. See, my story was a story of humanity. I couldn't get to Daddy's love. But that's not the way it's designed to be. Daddy's, she behaving. Daddy's jobs. A daddy's job is to come down to babies. A daddy's job is to come down to his kids. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this room, Daddy is reaching down his hand today. He's saying, I love you right where you are. I love you right the way you are. But I love you too much to leave you where I found you, because I've got incredible things in store for your life. But there's a blockage we got to get rid of. It's called sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody in this room is better than the person beside them. Love of God does not make me better than anybody. It makes me better than me. He's reaching his hand down to you today. Have you received God's love in your life? It's a free gift. If you're here today and you say, Josh, today I want to receive the love of God into my heart and life. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to know that I'm headed for heaven and I'm free from hell. I want to have purpose in this life. I want to be released from bondage. If that's you here today, as Daddy is reaching down his hand to you, would you reach your hand up to him right now across this room? I thank you for hands going up in this place today. I thank you for that hand. I thank you for that hand. I thank you for that hand. Is there someone else who will reach up to Daddy? I thank you for that hand. Is there another here today? I will reach up to Daddy's hand. I thank you for that hand. I see you there under the balcony. Is there someone else here this morning? Josh, today I want to receive the love of God. And let me tell you that when you accept Jesus, God fills your heart with that kind of love. Love lives on the inside of you. I see you there. Is there one more today? Reach up to Daddy. He's reaching out to you.